shall see the salvation of God. So to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground. For it is time to seek the Lord till he comes to rain righteousness on you.
From Tuesday, although it's a little different, but it's still with regard to prayer. And I have a title today for our teaching, and that is Touching God in Our Prayers and Intercessions. Touching God in Our Prayers and Intercessions. I feel the Lord is wanting me to continue along this theme because prayer is essential. As I said clearly on Tuesday, the Lord said, "My house is a house of prayer." And I think as we continue to walk this walk, we are learning as to why that is so. The church is not going to move forward. She is not, as a bride, going to make herself ready for the coming of the Lord unless she prays and she intercedes. And we're not just talking about the idea of getting together and having a prayer session. That can have its place. But we are talking about prayer where the Holy Spirit uses us and prays and intercedes in and through us. So in other words, through the baptism of the Holy Spirit who's come to empower us, it is God who is taking the initiative. And in my experience in ministry over all these years, I've found that there are few Christians who move into maturity into that experience. There's still a lot of prayer today which is hit and miss. A lot of prayer, a lot of time praying, not really believing in the heart. But God is gracious and merciful. He doesn't give up on us. But he's showing us that as we step aside, with our eyes still firmly fixed on the Lord, he has come to take over. And he has come as the intercessor to fill up those areas that are needful in the body of Christ and in our lives. And a lot of the nature of our prayer and intercession is building, is restoring. And we'll look at this as we open this up today. But I'm going to remind you in Luke 18 of why it is that we are to pray and to stay with prayer and to be persistent. The same as God looks for faithfulness from each of us, so he looks for that faithfulness in our prayers and intercessions. And we know this story very well in Luke 18 from verse 1 onwards. And here it's the parable of the persistent widow. She's very persistent and she's not going to give up. And she's going to get what she wants. And it opens up, "Then he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart." So he already gives us the reason why he's going to give this parable. Because the Lord is very aware of human nature. How that we give up so easily. We lose heart. We take our eyes off the Lord. And he says that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. So how can we continue to pray and not lose heart? That is the question. That is what is being raised. And that is what each of us cannot run away from. We have to face these issues. We cannot bury our heads in the sand where prayer is concerned, because it is so important, as we're learning. And then he goes on saying, "There was a certain city, a judge who did not fear God nor regard man." So this is a good introduction, isn't it? We're seeing a character here who doesn't fear man, doesn't regard God, isn't concerned. He's his own boss, his own man, in other words. "Now, there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, 'Get justice for me, for my adversary.'" We note she's a widow. The early church was admonished and encouraged to look after their widows because they're vulnerable. They need help. They're often elderly in age, so they're not able to work. They need looking after. So here we appeal to the love and grace and mercy of God. And in verse 4 he says, "And he would not for a while..." Afterwards, sorry, in verse 3, "Now there was a widow in the city, and she came to him saying, 'Get justice for me, for my adversary.' And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, 'Though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me.'" So this judge who doesn't regard man or God, he still has weaknesses and he can still become weary. And in this case, he's weary because she won't give up. She's persistent. And so in the end, he says, "I better give what she wants." "Then the Lord said, 'Hear what the unjust judge said. And shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them?'" So he gives the opposite. Using that analogy, he appeals to God, who is infinitely merciful, gracious, loving, who hears our prayers, our cries, who knows what we go through, the trials and the tests in this life. How much more will he hear? Now, that is the key. That is the attitude. That is the heart. That is the spirit. That is the faith that we should always have when we come before Almighty God with prayer and intercession. And that is where we have to be honest in our hearts. Because that will tell you why it is your prayers at times don't get answered. You are offended because it seems as though God has shut the door on you. He's not answering you. And so we turn away in a sulk. But God shows us that we are to persist, that we are to stay with it and not give up. And there's a very, very good reason for that, brothers and sisters. Because some days we're more in love with the Lord Jesus than other days. We can be up and down. We can be moody one day and all loving the next day. And these emotions will affect how you pray and your relationship with God. Because if we're up and down emotionally, that affects our relationship with people, our neighbour, our brother, our sister, and these all are hindrances to our prayers being heard. And so he says in verse 7, "And shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith or faithfulness on the earth?" He's raising a symptom, a problem. Will he find a people praying, interceding, pressing in, not giving up? In other words, that's a sign of faith. It is a sign of your faithfulness to prayer, to intercession. That is what he is saying here. And that's why prayer starts with the one who hung on the cross and wrought redemption for us. That is where prayer starts. It starts with Almighty God. It doesn't start with you or me. It starts with him. And that is why he is the high priest now seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercessions. That is where it starts. That is where he starts to move in your heart and my heart to take prayer, the ministry of prayer, very seriously. It doesn't lie within us. But as we yield to him, as we yield to the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit is burdening us to pray or causing us to go into our closet and to meet God and so forth, we don't resist. But we yield and allow the Spirit to work in and through us. That's how we start to grow in prayer. That is how we become faithful to prayer. That is how we become persistent in prayer and not giving up. You see, the nature of prayer stems from this principle, that we stay with it. We stay with it until the Holy Spirit reveals or the Holy Spirit shows further. We've already just read it to you in verses 1 to 8. The widow was persistent. She stayed with it. She kept knocking. She wasn't going to take no for an answer, because she knew she would receive. She knew her condition. She knew her situation. Probably elderly, a widow, lost her husband, not able to work, has need of things. She's not about to die or give up yet, which sadly some of us tend to do. No. She kept with it. And that is what God is looking for from the overcomers. If we are to ever mature and come into sonship in these last days, it is as a result of staying with it and not running away. You see, we say so often, don't we, over the years to you, that prayer isn't about emotions. It's about touching the Lord Jesus Christ. And to touch him in prayer, intercession, which is what it's about, means you have to stay with it. You persist with it. It means if there's sin in your life, then you confess it. You get it under the blood of the Lamb so that all hindrances to prayer are removed. Because we go through certain situations, we go through trials, we go through tests, and the nature of those trials and tests often are to expose what is in the heart. So that in that exposure, we can confess and bring it out into the light before the Lord, and the blood of the Lamb deals with it. That is why we persist and we stay with the nature of prayer. Because in prayer, persisting in prayer, just like this widow, sometimes things have to be exposed and dealt with in order to remove the hindrances, indeed, for the answers to prayer. We have too much of an easy idea, or just a very cavalier idea with regard to prayer. Well, I'll pray, I'll intercede, and the Lord will answer my prayer, and if he doesn't, well, it doesn't matter. That's a lot of the attitude that we've adopted with regard to prayer, but God won't have that, because he's baptized us in the Holy Spirit, and he's revealing to us that he is the one who takes the initiative with regard to prayer in our lives. And so it's not about our feelings, our emotions. It's not about sympathy for those whom you are praying for. Now, he might move in our hearts. We may feel the emotion. Jesus did. But he was never persuaded by that. He was absolutely resolute. He was one with his Father in his prayers, his intercessions. And that is the key to this every time. You see, unless the Holy Spirit changes us in these areas, it's not going to happen. I always desire in my prayers and intercessions that the Holy Spirit takes over. More of him, less of me. And we have to give ourselves time for that. It's not a quick 5-minute prayer. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about you and God closing that door and meaning business. As this widow meant business. That is what he's looking for now in the house of God. And there is a reason for that, brothers and sisters, because I'm using this word intercession. And I'll give more on this in a minute with regard to this. But he's looking for saints who consecrate this time of prayer before God. And you will begin to experience prayer like you have never experienced before. You will actually find as you touch God and as you make yourself available and as the Holy Spirit takes over in this ministry, you will want more and more and more of it. And rightly so. Because intercession is about filling up. Let's turn to Colossians chapter 1 and verse 24. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 24. And here the apostle, which he speaks of his service for Christ, for the body of Christ, for the saints, he says here, I now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of his body, which is the church. How the church, the remnant, needs prayer and intercession. Now, he gives us the idea of what intercession is here. It means to fill up. In other words, he's saying in his sacrificial service, his consecration, he is giving himself to the church. He is giving himself to each other. He is available to fill up where there are needs, where there is help, where there is want. The same as for us in a practical way in the body of Christ, in FGA. We help one another where we see that there is a need. If I can fill that need, then that is what I will do. That is the heart of the Father. When you have that heart, it is revealing you have a heart for Christ's body. A lot of us yet, we have to face the fact we don't yet have a heart for the body of Jesus Christ. We are still too consumed in ourselves, our own problems, my needs, what I want. Look what I'm going through. We are self-centered. But God is delivering us from that through the cross that we're to take up daily so that we can begin to fill up those needs that are to be found in the body of Christ. And when you start to have a heart for that and a desire for that, and when you hear your prayers and intercessions moving towards that, that is a sign you are growing up. It is a sign that you are making yourself available, that the Holy Spirit can take over in your life and pray these things through. We're still so consumed of praying for our needs, our wants, our family. And it's time to move on, brothers and sisters. The body of Christ, FGA, is in need of filling up. And the pastor cannot do it all, because that is idolatrous. Here am I, use me, I'm available. That is what this walk is about. That is what this church is about. We all minister in the body of Christ. We're all blaming other people for why this is happening. Get real. It may well be not happening because I am not fulfilling what God is asking me to do. That could well be the problem. And the Apostle Paul is doing exactly what the Spirit within him requires him to do. And you cannot use the fact, well, he was an apostle. I'm not. What he was doing was an example to all of us. Even to that mustard seed of faith that we have. But look what can be achieved by that mustard seed of faith. The body of Christ must be restored in these last days. She must be brought back to apostolic faith and anointing. God is restoring the gifts to the church. He's restoring those office ministries to the church of the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, Ephesians 4. All to fill up, to restore, to bring back these ministries that have been lost for many centuries. That is why we've got the confusion that we have today. That is why the church is so lukewarm today. That is why it's so denominational. It's become an organization. It isn't. It's to be functional. It's an organism. A body with arms, legs, eyes, ears, heart, and so on. That is its function. And you, brothers and sisters, you fill that up with what God has placed in and through you and the gifts that he's given you or will give you. You are to fill that up as you make yourself available and as you allow the Holy Spirit to anoint and take over in your life. Because he's the only one that can build his body and restore her in these last days. He's the only one that can create the bride of Christ who makes herself ready for the coming Messiah in the last days. And you can either be a part of that or not. So what is saying here with regard to intercessions? As I pray, as I intercede, as I stay with it, the Holy Spirit works through me, filling up the needs that are to be found in the body. And that is why we pray one for another. That is why we pray for the ministry. We pray for the word. It is filling up. It's like there are holes that have appeared and they need to be filled up with cement to make it firm, foundational. Same with a house, with a property or whatever it is. Over a period of time, work needs to be done on the structure. It's getting old. And so it needs to be worked on. And it's the same with the body of Christ. It's no different. And the apostle knew that was his calling for the body, for the church. That is why the revelation of the overcoming life, the deeper life, is apostolic. Apostolic means your love for Christ's body. It is filling up. It's taking that oversight. I'm a part of this body, Christ's body, this living, functioning body. My very presence, my very attendance, the very fact that I'm baptized into the body of Christ is to fill up that which is lacking. And yet we find ourselves with our heads buried in the sand. Poor me. Look what I'm going through. Nobody understands me. It's not about us. It's about the one who is over us. His name is Jesus. That's the one we keep our eyes on 24/7. That's all that matters. Nothing else really matters than keeping our eyes on him and walking with him. Everything else is irrelevant. Everything else will flow from that one principle, seeking him. The Lord's Prayer that Jesus gave starts with, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name." That is where it is. That's where it starts. Our prayers are in the heavenlies. Our prayers are coupled with him, his desires for his body. His concerns are my concerns. His burdens are my burdens. His building is my building. His love for his body is my love for his body. We're not separated from any of it. And yet we allow our trials, we allow ourselves, when we take our eyes off the Lord, we grope around, consumed in self. So this is the work that he's doing to fill up as he says in verse 19, I'm looking at this onwards, "For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself," by him, that's what he's doing, that's the work he's doing. That's what the Holy Spirit, I believe, is speaking through me to you. He's reconciling all things to himself, by him. Whether things on earth, which we are at the moment, or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of the cross, and you who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy, blameless, and above reproach in his sight. If indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, become a minister. So he's all part of that. He says that we continue in the faith, grounded, steadfast, resolute, in other words. You're cemented. You are part of the foundation. You are part of the body. You are set into it. Grounded, steadfast. You cannot be moved. That's what he means. And so it's like our prayers are if Christ were visibly present praying. When we pray, we intercede, it's like Christ is present. He's visibly manifested. It's like you're listening to what he's praying. You're reading his lips, you're hearing his words. I am one with him as I pray and intercede. That's what this is about. But so often, our minds get in the way, our thinking, our feelings. And that's why we feel prayer, it's got to be, I've got to do something. I've got to act. And that's where we go wrong. And that's why we become depressed and oppressed and fed up. Because I'm trying to get it to happen. I'm trying to do something. And it's not about that. Our prayers should be the very life of God praying through us. And that is what intercession is about. Intercession in nature is always redemptive. And our faith causes God to create. That is what prayer intercession is about. It's about one with him, the very life of God praying through you. And our faith causes God to create. Now you say to me, well, he's already created the heavens and the earth and rested on the seventh day. That's not what I'm talking about. God is still creative within that which he created. He's still creative because he's preserving and keeping that which he created. That which he created through Jesus Christ, the foundation on which he said, I will build my church. He's still creating, preserving, keeping that foundation. And he does that through us, through you, through me, the body of Christ, as we pray, as we intercede, as we are one with him in prayer. So we see the creative power, the miracle working power of God still glorifying his name in and through us. Do we believe that, brothers and sisters? That is the question. It's whether we take this away and this becomes our life, or we argue and bicker and question on what we hear. It's up to us. We have a free will. We have a free will. So we need to touch God in our intercessions. And this widow, she was persistent. She wasn't going to take no for an answer. Whatever your circumstances, whatever you go through, however black or bleak it looks, and we're all of us going through different trials or whatever it would be, the question is, are you going to take no for an answer, or are you going to give up and stop that knocking? Because God will answer. He hasn't forgotten you. He hasn't forgotten your labor of love and work that you do. And that is the confidence that we have. That is knowing our Father's heart and nature. The very reason that it's not manifested yet is because there's still a work God has to do in delivering me. It isn't rocket science. And it doesn't take long to find when we're still looking to self, we're still griping and moaning, poor me, look what I'm going through, that clearly is telling you, you are still a work in progress. And you still need to continue to knock and knock and knock, and your day, your turn will come for the glory of God. But all through those delays, as I finish now, God is working through these delays your union and oneness that you have with him. So you can't go wrong. Every day is a learning with God. As I decrease, that he increases. And remember that our prayers should be the very life of God praying through us. That is the ultimate goal, brothers and sisters. Heavenly Father, we thank you when you speak. You know how to silence all of us, and rightly so. I thank you, Father, that you are revealing your heart to us and how you love your body, your bride. How you are placing that love, but also that burden ourselves to fill up in those areas that are wanting. You're showing us not to look to anyone else, but to look to you, because you are the one that provides and supplies. You are the one that fills up those areas that are wanting. Father, help our prayers to line up with your heart through the Holy Spirit. Help us to put aside ourselves, our concerns, our fears, our anxieties. Help us, Lord, just to rest in you, to keep our eyes firmly fixed upon you. Help us, Lord, to be more interested and concerned about you, your needs, your wants, instead of ourselves. We still have this idea that you're God and you have need of nothing. That you are absolute perfection, and you are in your glory, your sovereignty. But through the Holy Spirit, who's come to lead and guide us, you have shown us, as the intercessor seated at the right hand of the Father, you are concerned. You are burdened. You do have emotions and feelings. You can cry out when people are suffering, when Christians are being starved of the Word of God, when ministry is lording it over the flock. You are concerned. You do cry out. You do burden. Lord, make each of us start to grow up and to be sensitive. Here am I. Use me. I'm ready to pray, to intercede. I'll keep knocking and knocking till you answer, because I know you will answer. Father, I thank you, you're working that in and through us. And may each of us be found faithful in this. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen, amen.
Jesus. In these days, as he's feeding us out of his mouth, this is a word of life to us, a word that we take and we devour. It becomes our very being, doesn't it? Man shall not live
by the grace of God. shall be opened unto you.